Hello, yes, it is the podcast where on occasion we discuss things soccer related. It's a Soccer Central podcast. We will be taking this show on the road pretty soon from a bar near you. Well, okay. By the way, I'm James Sharman, Thomas Dobby's here, yeah. And John Molinaro, the guru of Sportsnet.ca, is here instead of Punners, who sadly has left us for this week. Don't worry, he's not gone forever. I think
he's in Detroit.
Is he?
So maybe he won't come back.
What's he doing? Watching the Tigers?
Yeah, I think he's going to the Tigers game tonight.
He knew that Verlander pitched last night, right?
Yeah. Maybe he won't come back.
Yeah, maybe. Let's hope he doesn't come back.
Yes, ideally.
Maybe we'll meet him on the road. No, we just had a little discussion about bringing this podcast on the road. Was it Marika Wachinski's podcast? They did it this past
I love that 30 seconds
week.
Ago this was brought up.
Yeah, we're going on the road. It's
a great idea. Gate next week.
I just want a beer right now. But if you're interested, if you might show up to this kind of podcast at a bar, you know, and you're in the Toronto area, let us know on Twitter, at James Sharman, at Thomas Dobby, at John Molinaro.
Yep.
Right? Or I know, on the page that this website appears, on Sportsnet.ca.
Drop a comment and let us know.
If you wouldn't, that's fine.
You'd have to buy your own beer.
Yeah. Like,
we're not paying for your drinks.
For us, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. If you could buy us beers, we might do this. We might bring some a hat or something to give out or something.
Yeah. I have like an NHL t-shirt.
Have
Sportsnet,
you? Has it been worn yet?
No.
Yeah?
Yeah, there may be a few NHL.
Yeah, a few of those lying around. But if you're interested, let us know, and maybe we'll take it to the suits. Because one thing that's lacking from this podcast is beer.
Yeah.
Right?
We need it.
And I think it would suit it very well.
I mean, I'm usually hammered when I come to it.
Yeah. 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 Well, your pre-producing show drinks, right?
Yeah.
It's very important.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, let's start with some TFC, some MLS here. We'll get to
really?
That.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
No, really. Seriously.
Oh, well, God.
We usually start with EPL.
I should have studied for this.
Stay with the EPL, but yeah, well, you were there at the press conference this week. Jermaine Defoe is apparently committed to the playoff push. Now, is he committed to the club long term? I don't think so, but you heard his comments this week, and get going back to how committed he is to this team for the playoff push. Jamie, you were there. On was it Thursday or Wednesday? Well, today's Thursday.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Right. Do you believe he's here for the long haul or just for the playoff push?
No, I think it's just the short term. I mean, I do think he's committed for the playoff push. I mean, I think he is the type of guy who's professional and he's not going to mail this in, right? He's going to do everything he can to help this team into the playoffs with, you know, probably the five, maybe four games that he plays, because he's not going to play in Portland on Saturday. So it's likely it'll be, I think it's October 4th against LA in Los Angeles. So if he's ready for that game, then it's five games. And, you know, as I said, I think he's professional enough that he's going to give everything he has to, you know, give everything he has on the field. But in terms of long-term, like I said, I mean, everything that I'm hearing from sources is that, you know, he wants to leave, that the MLS experience isn't quite what he expected. And I suspect if it's not QPR, it'll be some other mid-table team that'll come in for him during the January transfer window.
Yeah, and I mean, when he came, it was a bit of a shock. I mean, we saw the promotional campaign and we saw the hype that it came, and rightly so. I mean, Toronto fans needed this, and when you coupled it with the Bradley signing and, you know, Julio Cesar, and that really lasted long, and all of these other things, yeah, the hype was warranted. But at the same time, we were so surprised because this is a guy that was still scoring goals on a regular basis when playing. And the only reason that he left Spurs is because he got shut out for some reason under management there. And, you know, there's going to be always a spot for him while he continues to score goals. The guy is still relatively young. I mean, he's only in his early 30s. He still can produce at a top level. He could still play in Europe, play for a top caliber team. And, you know, to come over here and what happened, I don't really blame him with the fact that the guy who sold him on this whole thing has flown the coop himself. And I blame Tim Leiwicki for all of this, you know, nonsense around TFC again happening, because he's a guy that promised massive things and was, I'm going to fix these things. And he's left the Leafs and the TFC in a worse spot than what he came with. Only the Raptors are better. And that's all because of Masai Ujiri, who was a great hire and has put the Raptors back on the map, and they're probably the best Toronto team now. But the fact that Leiweke leaves after promising Defoe all of these things and was the guy that recruited him, you can't really blame him. It's like if somebody came recruit us for a different job and that guy sold us on it, here we go, this is going to be great. And 6 months after you start there, he leaves and you want to leave. I wouldn't blame that person.
And the fact that I think Ryan Nelson, who reached out to Jermaine Defoe and obviously has history with him, got fired, left as well. So his two guys who brought him here are both gone. It's football. I found, you know, during this press conference, and you know, listen, he was prepared for this press conference in that he had prepped for this press conference. Yeah. You know, don't say this, Jermaine. Say this, you know, dink around the questions. There will be some tough questions, and there were a few, you know, kept going to him, you know, will you come back? He didn't ask those questions. He's prepared for it, but it's a bit condescending when he keeps going back to, well, this is how where the things are in football and back in England.
Oh, that was so condescending.
I'm surprised because this is just football. Yeah. You know, we're not idiots here. We understand that. But we also understand what you said when you first arrived at that press conference at Real Sports, how committed you were to the cause. We understand it's football. And if you leave this summer or this winter, no one's going to hold it, I don't think, against you that much because it just happens. It's a shame. But it's just this whole, well, it's just the way things are in football. And when you learn about the game, you dumb idiot Canadians, you know, you'll then understand.
Yeah, there was that sort of undertone of it. And the other thing, too, was he was talking about, you know, it was difficult for me because, you know, to read all what was going on in social media and, like, the media about what was going on. It was like, but wait a second. You know, it took you a month to kind of come out
and
address
this. You could have put out those fires easily.
Long ago, exactly. But you let it fester for about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. If you had just came out like a couple of days after and said, look, this is the situation, this is my feeling, then fair enough. We could have been like long moved on from this and on to another topic. But the fact that you kind of stayed silent and didn't really address it like you probably should have, I mean, that's why the story gained more sort of traction than it did.
I think the sad part also is that, you know, when he leaves in January or whenever it is, they will, I'm sure, have that money to commit to another DP. But I don't know if you're going to get another guy with the name value of Jermaine Defoe. It was a pretty big get when they first signed him. And I'm not saying by any stretch he's a world-class player or anything like that. He's not. But I'm not sure who else is out there to capture. Maybe it'd be a great fit, but, you know, they need a good news goal scoring. Who's available? We're going to find out in January and, you know, before the season starts.
Let's recap here. They have, what, 6 games left?
Yep.
To save their season, they have to probably win, what, 4 of those games?
Tough games coming
up
to
maybe
to make
at least
the playoffs.
3,
and you mentioned Portland. Okay, tough game. LA away. That's a loss
New York
right there.
Away.
You better win the rest of them. They're not going to make the playoffs in all likelihood. I really can't see it, especially how they've fallen so rapidly. I mean, they had a nice bulge plus games in hand only 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and it's fallen apart. So when you look at the beginning of the season, Defoe, Bradley, Cesar, Dero, Ryan Nelson's coach, and Tim Leiweke, let's look at what's going to be left. You're going to miss the playoffs. Leiweke's gone. Nelson's gone. Dero has been an added piece that has done really nothing. Bradley's the one guy because Cesar's gone and Defoe could be gone. You're going to have Michael Bradley left and another lost season and another outraged crowd. Oh, but an expansion where you can have more fans in there. Yeah. This team has become even more of a disaster. It would have been better off doing nothing the offseason, had another crap season, okay, whatever, than the fact that all of this hype, all of this expectation, they're a laughing stock. They're an absolute laughing stock.
I don't think it's quite as bad as that.
I think it is.
I really don't.
I think
they're a long way advanced from where they were this time last year.
But when they miss the playoffs, James, that's going to be another offseason discontent,
worse. I'm not saying it's been, you know, by any stretch a success. Obviously, missing these playoffs with what they committed financially, it's a disaster. As simple as that. We thought they'd make the playoffs. We thought they would. There's no one saying they won't make the playoffs.
10 teams make the playoffs.
But listen, okay, so Leiweke leaves. Okay, that's a gong show. That's an embarrassment, sure. Right. Ryan Nelson wasn't this management's hire. Probably should have been let go last season. Probably shouldn't have been hired
in the first place.
Right.
Really.
So that happens in football. They fired him. They made that call, the right call. They canned him. In comes Vanny. You know what? There's question marks there, inexperience, yada, yada. We'll see what happens in the offseason with him and long term. Defoe, it's football. He's not happy. He leaves. These aren't typically TFC moves. It's just because of what's happened in the past, we just assume it is.
But the Cesar thing, I mean, did they, when he
no,
signed,
Cesar,
did
they,
we
they
know?
Knew, they knew did, he was leaving.
They knew why he wasn't coming back.
But why was that signing hailed so well? Why didn't they say it right off the bat that this was only a temporary thing to the World Cup?
Well, I'm
it just
sure it wasn't confirmed,
poorly.
But I'm sure, you know, they were pretty confident he was leaving, but you never know what might happen in football.
So what's the point of bringing him in for that short stretch? What did he do for you?
Well, you know, I think he mentored Joe Bendik to a certain degree, and having Julio Cesar in that lineup, that's a decent team up until he left. It was a decent team, right? They're in the playoff hunt. For me, they're still not out of the playoff hunt.
For me, the bigger thing is if Defoe leaves, and that's such a massive PR black eye that he would leave after one season. I think it really reflects poorly on TFC, especially after, like Tom said, all that hype at the start of the season that, you know, the playoff drought would finally end. If he leaves after year one of a four-year deal, ouch.
And that's why I was kind of mentioning, you know, who is the guy to come in to replace him, because, you know, this guy didn't like it, and he'll go back there, and word gets around, Toronto, nice city and all, but listen, the football, whatever reason it was that he left, it's not the same as playing back
home. He does love it here, but I spoke to him, you know, around the World Cup time. He does like it here. He loves the city, and he said nothing but good things, and he was really pumped about the team, saying we're going to make the playoffs this year. Everything was good, so, I mean, that was,
So what is it?
In July.
It's just that he realizes he can still score goals and play in the Premier League, right?
I think so. It comes down to it. It's probably dollars, but he's getting paid, $6 million a year?
He won't get the same money.
He's going back to the EPL. There's no question. Yeah. He's not getting
an international thing, because he's never going to play for England again. So what is it? It's just he wants to be back at the top level for a couple more years, right?
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
No.
Maybe he shouldn't have come in the first place if that was the thing.
Yeah. Do your research, man.
Yeah.
And at the same time, TFC, do your due diligence too. Make sure this guy is aware of what he's walking into, and it's not just a paycheck.
This is going to be a constant thing. I think this is a struggle that the MLS faces still, because as much as, you know, I know the Beckham thing you don't want to keep going back to, but how that kind of paved the way for paved that way for these guys to come. I mean, we're seeing with Lampard right away. He signs with New York. He goes to City on loan. He scored 3 goals in 2 games, and all of a sudden, there's already rumblings this week. Oh, maybe he'll extend the stay at Man City, and New York's City FC's manager has to say, no. Like, I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah, sure is, because MLS isn't quite at that level.
Yeah.
And as simple as that. And until it is that level, that will always be the question mark with big names coming here. Which is fine. I mean, the cap's going up, I think, by $1 million in the next CBA, right?
Yeah.
That's what Bezpečenko thinks and hopes. That will open up some doors
as well. Right, if they get the new CBA, because they're out of it expires at the end of the year, and that's going to be a major labor battle.
But you're right. I mean, it's, as you mentioned, JMO, it's a huge PR black eye, not just to TFC, but to MLS, too.
Oh, absolutely.
This is an embarrassment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no doubt.
For whatever reason he leaves, it's an embarrassment. But listen, he's not gone yet, is he?
No. Nope.
And, you know, the Toronto Football Club, as some people like to call it still, could still lift that championship later this year.
There will be zero Canadian teams in the playoffs, is what's going to happen, actually.
Yeah, seriously. All right, well, to a much better championship, the Capital One Cup.
Gets in, Blades in the last 16.
Saw that, yeah, I know.
We are a cup team
and
under
Wednesday got smashed 7-0.
7-0, it was 0-0 halftime. It was a very good week. Into the last 16.
So you care about this now?
I got to start planning my trip to Wembley in February for the final again. Yeah.
Where's the draw being made?
It already was.
Oh, was it?
We got MK Dons away, so another League One team.
That's doable.
Yeah, big time. So only 9 of the last 16, believe 9 of the last 16 are Premier League teams. I think there's 3 League One teams.
Well, and if you look at the lineups this past week, they weren't that embarrassing by the Premier League teams. You know, there are a few new kids.
Arsenal's back four was a little shady against Southampton, and they paid the price for it. Chelsea, a bit experimental as well.
But there were still some name players in that
team. How about that Liverpool-Middlesbrough game? Did you guys see that shootout?
Yeah. I didn't see it.
It was incredible. Yeah. We sped up the penalties for the highlight pack for Connected that night and the next morning, and it was just amazing to see. I mean, 14-13, 30 penalties, guys retaking. I mean, that's a spectacle. That does not happen very often.
Yeah. I'm sure at the end of it, Brendan Rodgers was like, damn it!
Yeah.
Duh!
Famous win.
Don't need this right now. This is the one tournament I don't need.
Yeah.
God. Well, they're playing Everton this weekend. Liverpool in the 223rd Merseyside Derby. It's been 15 years since Everton won at Anfield. 15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
Amazing. Yep. I know. In fact, the last win overall, 2010.
Really?
Which seems odd to me. I'm sure they won since then.
2010.
Is that stat right?
I don't know.
That can't be right.
I know they had a 3-3 thriller. Last year.
Yeah, but I'm just, for some reason, an Everton win rings a bell.
But you know what? It might have been the Cup. I think they played in the FA Cup.
Yeah, this is probably just league.
In the quarters or something.
This is just league, but it could be.
It's just league.
Yeah. Who's in most trouble right now?
It's a great question. Yeah. You know what's best about these derbies is when both teams are struggling going in and need a win. I mean, both coming off really disappointing results last week, and Everton losing to Palace and Liverpool losing to West Ham. They're both scuffling along. I think that Liverpool, just because they're, you know, more expectations, are in more need of a win. But Everton are one of those teams where the hopes are always there. Maybe we can make that push to the Champions League. Right now, they look nothing close to it.
And lost to Swansea midweek, 3-0 as well. Palace, of course, 3-2 on the weekend. Defensively, they've been just abysmal so far this year. Timmy Howard, is that one major World Cup hangover or what? Because, you know, they've been built around good defense over, you know, the last few years. Even last year, they were still enjoying the Moyes defense under Martinez. But this year around, they've been really very, very poor. And I don't know, I think they'll be just fine, but it's been certainly a poor start to the season for Everton. As for Liverpool, they sit, it's 11th right now, who cares? It means nothing right now. And it's about a bunch of new players coming in, I think, and trying to gel and learn new systems. And I think they'll be okay. Will they win this year? No, they won't win, but they'll still be battling for fourth place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll be interested to see how Balotelli sort of does on the weekend, because I think he's, I don't know, to put it charitably, he's been a little bit uneven in his return so far. I like a lot of the work that he's done off the ball. Like, mm-hmm. he's kind of tried to run at defenders and open up space for other players, but, you know, it's not the Balotelli that, you know, we expect, the guy who can sort of change the game, you know, with a moment's of brilliance. So.
And we haven't seen him for over a year.
That's true.
So maybe he's gone away.
And they're missing Sturridge. I mean, when Sturridge is there and they can play together, that'll just open things up. We saw how dynamic Sturridge and Suarez were together last year, and I think the Balotelli will really benefit from the Sterling, Sturridge, Balotelli threesome that we will see often when Sturridge is healthy. But right now you can tell that they're missing him. And you talk about Everton's defensive problems. Liverpool have been run ragged at times. I mean, that first 15 minutes against West Ham was absolutely horrific defensively from them. And it's not too shocking because they're trying to put all these new pieces
three new players in the back four, right? Simple as that. And Steven Gerrard has been poor this year.
Very
so far.
Poor.
You know, and you know, I'm Stevie G's biggest fan. But
and Lucas's role is now,
He's done.
Exactly. He was so big for them for a while.
He was. He's never been the quickest player, but he's just so immobile.
Coutinho, too, who I thought last year was so influential. I mean, he's kind of been relegated now, right?
He's been hurt the last couple of weeks, but wasn't very good at all.
No.
Joe Allen's been hurt. Actually played pretty well when he was healthy. A lot of injuries, actually, across the board, actually, and a lot of teams, a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't help. But, you know, it's funny. I was looking about this, you know, looking back at this time last year, and it's so hard to judge teams right now. We see Southampton in second place. We see Villa starting really well. We see United struggling. You know, you can't really tell anything until about 2 months into the season. You really can't, because you see these stories every year.
Yeah.
And they fade away. True.
Although I do think there's something to Chelsea about sort of the inevitability about where they're picking up points rather easily. I mean, I don't think, whatever, I think City and other teams will challenge them, but
we're playing Villa this weekend.
Yeah.
Villa, who's healthy now, coming off the flu last week and that loss to Arsenal. So it's actually a pretty good game there. But you're right, Chelsea, hugely impressive. Now, last week, of course, they tied City 1-1, and post-match Pellegrini was criticising them, say they defend like a small team in these games. But, you know, we discussed it last year late in the season, these road trips for Chelsea, they play a certain way against the big teams. They kill it off because Mourinho knows his team can play that way and they can get a point. And he's happy to get a point on the road against Man City or Liverpool or whoever it's going to be, because they'll clean up at home, you know, and play a different style of football. So I get why he does it. It's not very much fun to watch, but it's very pragmatic. And do you really blame the guy for that when he has the point's a point, right?
What cost Arsenal a title chance last year? When they went to those big teams, they got absolutely shredded.
Yeah.
They shipped 6 goals at Chelsea. They gave up 4 in the first 20 minutes to Liverpool because they tried to play open, expansive, and that's their style. And it cost them in the end because they were right there for 4 months, 5 months of the season. And then as soon as it came to crunch time, they started getting battered in those games. Whereas Chelsea, late in the season last year, still kept up their push. They went to Man City and they won 1-0. This is a big point. I mean, they could have had all three very easily. Frank Lampard, of course, bit them. They adapt to the opposition, right? They got plan B and plan C.
It's September, right? There's no need for them to open it up against City. No. At this point. I mean, if it's later in the season and it's sort of in the dying weeks of the campaign, then fair enough. But even then,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Listen, it's what he does, right? In big games, he knows that, listen, I'm going on the road against a very top team here, a very good team. A point's worth a good point. And it's, you know, it's not 2 points lost. So I'll go home and beat them and destroy the lower teams.
They went to Everton and scored 6 2 weeks before that.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't sitting back. Let's lay off them a little bit. They've played amazing
stuff.
They're
not a boring team by any stretch. They had that ability to be boring. And, you know, I don't blame them either. Open up and met at the Emirates. That's smart.
Yeah.
Or the Etihad, sorry. That's smart. Yeah, let's do that. Like I said, Arsenal, you know, prime example. Speaking of Arsenal, North London derby. Up against Spurs, the Gunners lost to Southampton in the League Cup, which breaks Jamo's heart. I know that.
Who cares?
Being the gunner that he is. But, of course, they're coming off that 3-0 win against Villa. Guess what? Mesut Ozil plays centrally against Villa.
He's better.
And he gets a goal and an assist.
Stunning.
There you go.
And post-match, Wenger goes, listen, I've got a whack of players who want to play in that role. Well, whose fault's that, Arsene?
How about your best player?
£42 million
should
man.
Be your best player, yeah.
Seriously, listen, yeah, a great player should adapt and be able to play across that three, but he can't. He can't defend. So playing where he's at his best, and that's centrally, right? Or is a fanboy?
No, talking? I think that's play to his strengths. I think that's exactly right, James. I mean, he's the kind of guy who you can build around, I think, in that sort of, you know, that central playmaking, you know, role. And when he's at his best, like he's been like the last couple games, then, you know, he's dynamite. He's lights out for Arsenal. And Arsenal, I think, is a completely different team when he's in that role. But you're right. I mean, when you try to shift him into other places in the pitch, it's like putting a round peg into a square hole. It's just, you know.
I mean, it's fine if you're Germany.
They sure. Did it, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's fine because they play
not
a different style
Arsenal,
and they have some pretty good options playing centrally, right? And you can live with him in that role and they won a World Cup with it.
Sure. Right. Arsenal doesn't have that sort of the same options.
And because there's no one else behind in tackling.
Right.
Right. Whereas Germany have, you know, several players who can play deeper. They still need that guy to tackle. So if Ozil's playing wide and he's not tracking back or tackling, there's someone else there to do it for him. Yeah. I'm still a fan of Arsene Wenger, but man, he just drives me up the wall sometimes. He's so stubborn.
We'll see, you know, when we talk about the style and what they're going to do. I mean, critical game against, obviously, Tottenham just for, you know, North London bragging rights. And then they go to Chelsea the next week. So we'll see if they've learned lessons from last season and how they do. That's going to be a fascinating game, Arsenal at Chelsea the following Sunday, just to see.
I think Chelsea will spank him.
It could happen again, right? And, I mean, Arsenal, it's funny because their start to the season, you see some people lauding them. You see some people on them. They're inconsistent. They haven't lost in the league, but they've also drawn three times, one of those against, you know, Leicester already. And it's kind of like humming and hawing along. Champions League, they got spanked at Dortmund. They're out of the League Cup. So, you know, I think Arsenal are always on that cusp of a few losses from it being crisis mode amongst, fans. And people are very quick to jump on them and want this team to go into crisis. And it's easy to get into that. So I think that, you know, if they lose on Saturday against Spurs and then go to Chelsea and lose again, it's all of a sudden going to be, Arsenal crisis mode. So look out for that coming up.
Speaking of crisis, it's Manchester United in crisis.
Oh, boy.
Up against West Ham this weekend.
What happened
They have
there?
9 injuries.
Oof.
They've got one healthy centre-half, who is Marco Rojo. Woo! Uh-oh.
Yeah.
If he's a healthy guy, that's not good. Might be playing Blackett. Sorry, Blackett. He's suspended for this
one.
Yeah, might play if Carrick's healthy in the back four, or more likely Danny Blind, or an academy kid. Wow.
Can they recall any of the guys on loan? I guess not.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah. It's just, man, that match last week was as incredible a match as I've seen for a very long time against Leicester.
It was surreal to watch.
2-0, 3-1, they're cruising, they got all the ball, they're enjoying themselves out there. Di Maria's just
coming off
in
that
field.
Big win the week before.
Yeah. Okay, now finally it's 5-3.
Yeah.
Boy.
It really was unbelievable to watch. And I mean, we're just still not used to it. I mean, yes, last year, but you still, when you think of the last 20 years, you just can never picture Manchester United falling apart like this and consistently. And I mean, here it's like, they got West Ham at home this week, slam dunk. But is it? Nothing's a slam dunk for
this
team.
Not the way they're
right
playing.
Now. Not with their defense and not
West Ham's playing really well as well, coming off a win against Liverpool last week. Very nasty and tenacious and physical, looking great. And boy, do you think the back four of United will be wanting to see those guys?
No
way. I know Kiete is out this week, which is a big loss because he was great last week against Liverpool. Real thorn in their side.
Yeah.
But man, there's some big issues there, and I don't know what the solution is.
Well,
other than spending in the transfer window, because there's no one sitting there like a defender waiting to get healthy and who's going to be the answer. Johnny Evans? Yeah. Chris Smalling?
Yeah, they spent all their
Phil
money
Jones
on
okay,
the big shiny toys to score up front, but they're going to have to win a lot of games 3-2. A lot of games 3-2. And the thing is, you think, they're already out of the League Cup. They went out. They're not in Europe. I mean, they can only focus on the league. Good for them, but that's one thing. You got to actually go out and deliver. I mean, it's a team people are talking about for title contenders because, it can't get worse. Van Gaal's coming in, and they've done this and that, and especially after the transfer window, they're going to be back. The talk after that QPR game was how Man United have the best squad again, and this is the team to beat, and then that happens.
Did you pick him as champions this year?
No.
No.
I thought you did.
No.
No?
Last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, that's right.
Stupid pick, regardless. Regardless, stupid, yeah. Stupid pick.
All right, I'm an idiot. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Sam Allardyce says they never backed David Moyes like Van Gaal's being backed, and it's fair enough. Moyes spent very little money, whereas we know Van Gaal spent, what is it, £150 million so far? And at this point, you know, he's behind where Moyes was at this point. It really is amazing, isn't it? Because I've always been an apologist of David Moyes since coming to Man United, and I thought he was poorly treated. But he must be sitting there somewhere saying, wow, what has Van Gaal got that I didn't have? Is it charisma? Are they scared of him?
Reputation.
It's the name. That's
reputation.
It.
Reputation. Yeah, I mean, because he's won Bundesliga titles, he's won La Liga titles, he's won Champions League. David Moyes, I mean, I have a great deal of respect for him. I think he's a really good guy, but I think that position at the time for him to move up was just too soon, too quick. I just don't think he was a Manchester United manager quite yet.
I don't think he was given the chance to prove whether he was
that
or
too.
Not.
That
you know,
too.
Honestly, I really don't.
Yeah. But I think it's for that position, though, it just requires someone with gravitas and reputation. I don't think Moyes kind of had that. You know, and look who was following in the footsteps, too, right? I mean,
yeah.
You needed someone. Not that there's another Sir Alex Ferguson out there, but you needed someone kind of like that, his sort of managerial style as well.
Yeah, it's a Jose or a Van Gaal right? Yeah, simple as that. But other fans looking at Ferguson, do you think, and saying, you know, you knew what you were doing by leaving this club because you left the cupboard pretty bare?
Yeah. It's an interesting debate because, you know, do you say, wow, what did he do to make that team hum? Because they won the title the year he left, and now look at them for a season, and now into a second season, they're a disaster. Or do you think he left at the perfect time because he knew that his team was getting old and a lot of his key pieces were leaving and that it was going to be a complete rebuild and he just wasn't up for it?
Well,
I think it's a combination.
The Fergie factor is huge, and he got a bit more out of that team than anyone else could, certainly. But he also had Rio and Vidic, who weren't quite done, very close to it, but not
How's
quite
Vidic
done.
How's Vidic been at Inter this year so far?
Van Persie scoring 30 goals.
Hmm? Yeah. Has Vidic played much at Inter? I haven't really.
I believe he played the first game red card.
Yeah.
And came back and scored a goal, didn't he, I think? But then it's his mistake in the third goal as well. Yes. For Inter Milan, I think. Hasn't been good, put it that way.
Yeah.
Not good at all. But Rooney, Van Gaal says this week that he is not impressing him as a striker. He is not as good as Falcao or RVP, so therefore he should play where he's in the hole, essentially, in midfield. Man, this guy's making £300,000 a week. Can you not drop this guy? He says he's the first guy on his team sheet. Is he really?
Surely it's
Falcao or RVP if he's not as good as those two.
I would think so, but I mean, like, that's the problem with, and Tom kind of mentioned it earlier about, like, bringing in all these nice shiny toys, like Di Maria, Falcao, all these attacking players without any sort of thought process about how are we going to fit all these guys in.
Somebody's got to miss out. Mata is
the guy,
but it could be Van Persie.
But why not Rooney?
Yeah.
If he's not as good as RVP and Falcao, which is what his manager said, why is he not the guy being dropped to the bench in favor of Mata or someone?
Yeah.
He's not even being discussed by the manager. He's
Maria,
my first guy on the team sheet.
Di Maria is the first guy on the team sheet, for sure. He's got to play every game.
And I think with Falcao now, like after, you know, getting him on loan, I mean, it doesn't make sense to like drop him unless he's injured. But
do you consider Rooney a great player?
I think he is.
I think he can be. I think it's just the lack of consistency for
him. When was the last time you said Wayne Rooney was great in that match?
It's been a while.
He was dominant.
He's often okay.
He was dominant for a couple seasons, but it's gone away for sure. He's often okay. You're right.
Yeah, and you need more than that from a guy that is going to be the first guy on the team sheet making that much money.
And the captain. They're trying everything.
What's funny was it the last week he was yelling at his defense for a goal which he was actually responsible for.
Yeah, the 3-3 goal.
Yeah. Oh, captain, what a captain. who gave the ball away? Oh, that'll be you, Wayne.
I wonder, too, because we talked about, you know, not bringing in sort of defensive reinforcements, but bringing in leaders, too, because with Vidic gone, Fortnan gone, Giggs retired, who's the leader on this team?
Well, when he's captain, it must be Rooney, right?
I don't know. Is he a leader, though? I don't see him as a leader.
You think about it, though. It's a great point, because what do you think of those 20 years of success and those Manchester United teams, you think about the leadership in that core with leading from the top with Fergie, but then the likes of Giggs, the likes of the Nevilles, Keynes, Irwins, all of these guys, Scholes, that, you know, this team just would not accept losing. And now the fragile mental character, and I think that Rooney exemplifies that.
Absolutely.
Because he's always been that. And still, at his age, he's now a veteran and a guy who's been around for a long time and on probably the downside of his career. But you just always picture this guy as that 18, 20-year-old hothead who could at any time go off and get sent off in a World Cup match like he does for England and get sent off for Man United. And
or he sulks.
Or sulks.
Right. You know, did you ever see Roy Keane sulk on the field?
Never.
Never. Not once. Like, boys, we're going to damn well get through this.
Seen him do a lot of other things, but never sulk.
Yeah, exactly. Some questionable behavior.
It's a great point. It's a great point. You know what? It's missing overall from the game these days a bit, that hard edge. And, you know, we're definitely more into the... And it's a good thing. I mean, it makes sense. The players are better now, the fitness levels. And I don't think that these guys from the 80s and the 90s and these guys could even come close to hacking it in this day and age now. But they would adapt. They would have to. The physical specimens and the training they put in and, you know, the technical ability and what they do in training and stuff, it's different now. But I find sometimes still that steel and that grit and that good old, you hate to say, but English character is lacking a lot in the Premier League these days. And I, for one, miss it as a fan because I used to love that stuff.
Well, it's all the damn foreigners.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn foreigners ruining this game.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
No, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
It's missing among the English players as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Look at that England team. Where's the leadership there?
They're absolutely spineless.
Gerard retires and there's team. Who's going to lead this?
Horrific.
Oh, Rooney's captain, that's who.
Spineless, absolutely yellow bellies.
I think it's been taken out of the game a lot as well.
Yeah.
You know, you can't play with
that. And the refs don't help it either.
Well, you know, Roy Keane would last about 5 minutes in today's game.
Yeah.
Right? He would be. You know, red carded straight away.
Look what Zabaleta got a red card for in the weekend.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come on.
I mean, who are those inspirational leaders you can look at? All right, I look at Bastian Schweinsteiger or Philipp Lahm
and
for Germany.
Vidic for me was
Vidic was
one
right?
Well.
But, you know, playing right now, you go through. I mean, Gerard's still that guy, I suppose.
Yep.
Arsenal haven't got one, that's for sure.
No.
Man City, I thought it was Yaya, but it's not. But Kompany is that guy.
Yeah, Kompany for sure.
There's very few, though.
There's very few.
You know, it's funny, you go down to the lesser teams, they may have those players.
They may
more,
have
the Kevin
more,
Nolan
yeah.
type players. Mm. You know, guys that can lead at least, but don't have Chick quite
Tiote
that quality.
For Newcastle is one of those two that I really like.
I like. He plays with an edge, that's
he
for
does,
sure.
He
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It's too bad because I like the old-fashioned captain mentality. Oh, yeah. But captain nowadays is about who can sell the shirts, who can speak to the media. And that's been a big, not that Rooney can really, but he's improved a lot actually in you know the last couple of years. But yeah, the game's changing and it sucks now. So why bother watching it? Why? No one watches soccer
there's
anymore.
There's a lot of pros
talking
to
about
it.
This.
I'm
there's
done.
A lot of pros to it, but you know, just wanted to make the point.
Again, you have a Ronaldo like at Real Madrid who does both.
Yeah,
there's a bit of a difference there. When you're that good, you can lead by example.
Yes, exactly.
And,
Messi doesn't need to be that guy.
Man City take on Hull. City winless in three in the league, but beat
Crisis.
Wednesday 7-0. Crisis? Mm. Nope, because Super Frank's in town. As you
oh,
mentioned,
that's
three
true.
Goals. Right. It is a nice story, isn't it? Last week against Chelsea, that was a
is.
Great
yeah,
story.
It's nice.
It is.
And you can't dislike Frank Lampard, can you?
No.
It's hard to.
Unless you're a West Ham fan.
Yeah, sure.
Sure
you could. But he seems to be a pretty decent human being. He writes a children's book for crying out loud.
Really?
Right?
Does?
Oh, yeah. He released a kid's book last week. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's a side of him so I didn't know.
There must be a reason to hate Frank Lampard. Think about it. Aside from, you know, who he played with before. He's not dirty. He plays hard.
So he's like Derek Jeter.
A bit like Jeter. Yeah. I see that comparison.
Okay.
An Iron Man. Rarely hurt. Never the best player, even on his team, but a very good
a winner.
Player.
Was he ever like any tabloid trouble? Like, I don't know, banging prostitutes
so.
Or anything?
No,
like
it was
that.
More of a Terry.
Yeah, that's what I was
Terry.
Thinking.
I don't think he was ever really mixing.
Oh, no, no. He was
he was
associated
actually.
With that post 9/11
oh, that's right.
Scandal at the
airport. At the
airport. Was American
right.
tourists. He denies
that.
He was involved in it.
Yeah.
I believe.
What
but there was that. It was just like a day after 9/11, Chelsea was at an airport, I believe, and some of the, I think Jody Morris was the one of the ringleaders, I think it was.
Morris.
I could be wrong if it's him, I apologize profusely. They started, I forget what it was, but they were just basically making fun of
they're
some American tourists.
Really?
It was horrendous, yeah.
Oof.
Like a day after.
Really?
Yeah. Find out for me. Put Jody Morris before I get, you know, sued.
I just put in Chelsea 9/11 incident.
Okay.
Came out. Frank Lampard's drunken mockery after 9/11 still haunts him. This is an article from this year from the Daily Mail.
New York,
about it,
right?
So, Lampard's fined 2001 after abusing U.S. tourists at Heathrow
Hotel.
Americans were stranded following ban in wake of 9/11 attacks. Eesh. Lampard and teammates allegedly stripped, swore, and vomited. Jesus.
Wow.
Newspapers reprinted stories. He looks to sign for City's team. Interesting.
But was the vomiting associated with 9/11? How can that be associated, the vomiting part?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not, but...
So there's something you can dislike Frank Lampard for.
Yeah, so there we go.
All right, we've got one. It was, what, 13 years ago?
I'm sure he's grown up since then.
If you're a Red Bull fan, you must hate him now, though. That rivalry. Growing New York FC. Watch out.
Yeah.
Anyway, elsewhere, Sunderland, Swansea, Southampton, QPR. Saints, nice story, as mentioned before.
Yeah.
They won't finish second, will they?
No. No. Maybe like top half, kind of like they did last term, but even that might be a stretch. I could see them in that kind of 12 to 14.
Super impressive what they've done though with the turnover. Yeah. I mean, I thought they'd struggle this year, and you think about it from the new manager, Koeman's done a great job, and then the guys that went out and got him, I mean, Pelé looks a real top sign.
Fantastic player. Yeah. Fantastic.
Really top
sign. Well, last 2 years in Holland, Feyenoord, he scored almost 50 goals, maybe 50 goals in like 57 games.
Yeah.
That's a crazy return.
That's like Afonso Alves before he went to Middlesbrough.
Good call.
Yeah, remember
nice
he scored
call,
like 8 goals. Yeah. No, but I mean, when you think of the fact that they lost Lallana and Lambert and Lovren, all these guys at Liverpool, and Luke Shaw, I mean, this is 4 of their best players. Yep. And the fact that guys like Nathaniel Klein are absolutely tearing
it up right now.
And, you know, I think Schneiderlin's got a big money move coming soon because that guy has been very impressive.
Just stay there
for
till the summer. Don't go in January.
Yeah.
Don't go in January.
Yeah. No, it's team good for them. I mean, they've really, really done good business. I mean, I think they've made money in the offseason and somehow bettered the squad just because the big names left, but they brought in more than capable replacements.
Yep. Well, Prowse is out for, I think, 8 weeks now, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's a big loss. He's been playing really well. Yeah, really well. Palace take on Leicester. Palace coming off a big win, of course, and Leicester, pretty big win.
Yeah.
Out in the big old 5-3.
Well, you know, we should talk about that briefly. I mean, I know last week against, you know, the whole story about United capitulating, but full credit to Leicester. Yeah. I thought they did really well.
Varney was really good.
Down 3-1. I mean, I know they were playing at home, but, like, who honestly thought that they were going to come back and, like, score 4 straight? So, yeah.
Although
I mean,
Clattenburg really blew that call, didn't he, on the, for the penalty?
No doubt.
I mean, how
absolutely.
That first one wasn't called, and I don't know.
Sure.
Horrendous. But still, it happens, and Man U have had their fair share of
over the years.
Refereeing calls
in
their
two.
Favor. Yeah, yeah. That should piss off the Man U fans listening right now.
They won't be coming to the bar when we take the shot.
Well, they might be.
Yeah, well.
Yeah,
we'll
be coming afterwards.
Get glassed.
Yeah.
What did you
what
say?
What did you say, Pemon? Waiting for you outside, Sherman.
I was
going to
say, they're not from London, but they are from London, not them, so they will be that way.
Yeah.
But, and so I upset them once again. West Brom, Burnley. We're showing it. We're airing it.
All right. All right. All right. Get up for that one Sunday
morning.
Watch NFL. It's the only Sunday game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get up, watch it before the football starts.
Stoke, Newcastle on Monday as well.
Classic.
I got to say, some dire matches.
Good game Saturday. Saturday is great. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you saying? Sunderland, Swansea, Southampton, QPR, Palace, Leicester, West Brom, Burnley.
No, Saturday,
and
Saturday's a full day. I mean, you got Everton, Liverpool first thing, early kickoff. Then you got United, West Ham. United's almost must watch these days, and you got Hull City on Sportsnet World as well at the same time. So both of the Manchester ones are going to be great, and then you got the London derby after. So Saturday's phenomenal. Just Sunday and Monday is.
Well, we're airing United, West Ham.
Yeah,
that's on Sportsnet cross country at 9:30. In the morning, at the same time on Sportsnet World, it's Man City against Hull.
Good.
And also at the same time, QPR Southampton.
On 360.
That's on 360.
You can watch Southampton. Nice.
We have Stoke Sunderland on Digi, right? On Sportsnet.
Yeah, on Sportsnet World now.
It's not right now.
You can watch
not
every
now.
Game. It's
like
amazing.
Like Thursday at 5:45, but Sportsnet World now.
Yes.
But not now. Isn't it called Sportsnet World now, in brackets, but not now?
Yeah. It should be.
But if you have Sportsnet World on your TV, they're in like on Rogers, they're in like the 380s. There's a Sportsnet World Plus.
Yep.
And often they're not even listed, but you just go on there and you get every Premier League game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between us and the other three letter, you can get every Premier League game.
Every three
game.
Letter, I like that.
Yeah.
Very diplomatic.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's good then. So there's a lot of football this weekend to watch on.
And Champions League next week.
Champions League next week.
And I'm hosting all of it.
PSG Barcelona,
terrifying.
Man City Roma,
yeah,
big, Juve big Atletico.
Games. That's a
some
that's
fantastic
a great games
next week.
Ludogorets against Real Madrid.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
the Dynamo against the little engine that could.
Yeah, that's
hopefully
right.
Hopefully Real Madrid can somehow find a result.
Ronaldo, 11 goals in that game. 11 goals, I think.
He's got 7 in his last two.
Two hat-tricks back-to-back, yeah.
Barca got held 0-0 midweek.
Yeah, that's
Messi
right.
Messi got choked.
Is that being blown up or what?
Yeah,
apparently he said, "You're a son of a bitch." It's the worst you're going to hear in the football field, really? Jeez, I tell you. Anyway, please join us this weekend on Sportsnet across the country. Anything else you want to get to football-wise, boys? Anything you're just dying to talk about?
No. Pretty much a loser, that's about it.
Yeah, we know that.
We're running out of steam.
Good.
Yeah. Well, JMO, you've been a welcome addition to the show today.
Yeah, don't hopefully lie. Dunlop doesn't come back.
Yeah, hopefully he'll meet a fate worse than death in Detroit.
That's a worse bit than
death. Hey, guys. Death. Hey, where I can find that.
Yeah.
Found a Peter Collada around here.
Verlander. Cecil Fielder. Steve Eisenman. And Barry Sanders.
Where's Chelly's? Let's go for a beer.
Is he there with his girl or is he there with his mates?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. He doesn't have any mates.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
All his mates are in this room.
Where
are
his pretend
mates?
I
was at a TFC game in the stands with the Scum last weekend, actually.
And, with Dunlop?
Actually, I saw him at the halftime, actually. Yeah. I enjoyed myself, I have to say. I was quite drunk.
Excellent. You don't get out much, you know.
I don't know. Yeah. No, not this year so much, TFC-wise.
Young daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. We talk about football in this podcast, and it's called Sportsnet. What's it called? Soccer Central Podcast.
Soccer Central Podcast.
Can we get new music, by the way?
No, I like that music.
Ah, God. We're so, like, not classical.
It's so dramatic, James.
We're not dramatic. Damn. We need some guitars.
Cue the music.
Go.